the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to another Wednesday edition of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. My name is Joey, coming to you still from my basement, former basement studio. I should one day do one of like an MTV Cribs camera 360 view, and you can see where I used to podcast. Now I'm podcasting against another wall. Anyways, it's good to have you here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight we got two guests. We got Anthony DeGazin and Mark Mulder, who are running Finlit. I believe that's what they're calling it. These guys will correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a financial literacy program for young people. I don't want to say kids because I think the age groups go a little above the kid range. And both these guys are, I think, doing good work both for Bitcoin and just generally for financial literacy, filling some gaps that exist in education and in families, unfortunately. But we'll get into all that as we always do. First, our sponsor is EasyDNS, the best place for you to host your content. Mark, Jeff, DeVic, and the team there, obviously uncancelable. We talk about that every week. But you'll be happy to know that actually Mark is working diligently with us and maybe, to put it more plainly, for us to get our website up and running. So we're just about ready to launch that. They have GPG email encryption. They have virtual private servers. So if you want to run a BTC Pay server for your own business, or you want to run a Nostr relay, or I think you can even run a Bitcoin node if you want. So any of those things, Mark will help you with. They'll do all the migration for you. We've had a number of our viewers and listeners tell us that Mark and the team have done a great job. And of course, if you use our code CBP Media or just tell them we sent you, Mark will give you half off whatever you buy on your first purchase. So can't go wrong with that. We love those guys and we're working with them all the time. Second sponsor, Bull Bitcoin. I almost wore my Destroy Fiat shirt, but I like this mushroom crew neck top instead tonight. So Bull Bitcoin, you guys know Francis, you know the team, you love those guys. They are, in our view, the best place for you to buy KYC-free Bitcoin, to buy Bitcoin really at all, but KYC-free Bitcoin for sure. In Canada, you go to the post office with your cash, you talk up the nice clerk there, maybe it's a nice young lady for you or a nice young man if you're, you know, of that persuasion. And not only do you make a new friend, you buy some Bitcoin KYC-free, bring your load code or your load hub QR code right from the Bull Bitcoin website, and off you go. You can use our code, mission.bullbitcoin.com/CBP, all lowercase CBP, and on your first $100 fund, they'll give you $21. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. No one else is giving you 20% of your first $100, and you keep using the code. And I got to tell you, without going into details, there's a lot of volume coming through the CBP promo code, so keep that up. We like those guys a lot, and we hope you give them a shot. And I'm going to bring on the boys here. Anthony told me before the show that Mark is actually in parts unknown. I don't really understand. We sometimes talk to people in the Caribbean. Most of the time, they're like in a legit jungle. You look like you're at least in a hotel room. So where are you?
It's legit. I'm island time. I'm in the Dominican Republic, man. It's wild here. It's the Wild West. Awesome. So last night we had the internet cut four times. Well, actually, the power cut four times yesterday evening. Twice today. But we're here for 3 weeks. I'm here with the family for 3 weeks. We arrived on Friday. We're north coast of Dominican Republic, outside, well, actually in Sosua, which is, Sosua is kind of north coast, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes outside of Puerto Plata. And then there's Sosua, and then about 5-10 minutes up the road, there's Cabaret. So those who are into kite surfing, windsurfing, surfing is a big destination as well. Combination of kind of just pleasure, wanted to check it out. I've been to Dominican six times, always on a resort. This is definitely a different experience. It's taken some getting used to because everything's an effort. You got to fight for your food and go out shopping, et cetera, et cetera. You got to haggle, you got to charge tourist prices. So it's always a headache. You got to negotiate. But people are really friendly, super safe. Definitely it's wild when you get onto the road. It's like, the analogy I give you is like Super Mario, and I'm not joking. You've got motorcycles on the left and right. We had Bowser passes yesterday, no joking. She was a heavy, and she was leaning into it as she went around the curve. She whipped right by us at an ATV, and it's just an absolute cacophony of noise.
Awesome.
When you're on the road. But yeah, we're easing into it, so it's different, man. Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm glad to hear that. Now, Anthony, you get to tell me where you are. Probably not as exciting, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm in my standard office and showing the same view as always. Yeah, so I'm in Toronto area, and yeah, glad to be here.
I'm happy to have you guys on. It was a pleasure meeting both of you. Now, Mark, I was pretty hungover when I met you at the conference. You could probably tell. But Anthony and I spoke at some length in the parking lot after Your Life, Your Terms.
After everybody was gone, right? We're sitting there.
Yeah,
the lights are off, and we're just stuck at the car.
It was a nice conversation. And one of the reasons that Len and I wanted to have you guys on is because we're excited about what you're doing. And I think it's not necessarily even about Bitcoin exclusively, the excitement that we have, although we know you guys are sharing that message with your students as well. But maybe before we start, tell us a bit about who you guys are professionally, because I think that's important to the whole story. This is kind of an interesting cocktail of two guys who have a bit of a different background than each other, but came together to at least begin to build this kind of flourishing business. So maybe, Mark, if you want to go first, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joey. So my 9-to-5 job, I'm a school teacher. That's my day job. I teach grade 8 outside of Toronto. I'm also a real estate investor, a family, a dad. Around 2020, I really took an interest in Bitcoin when the first lockdown came through and people really started talking about it. And I started like going down the rabbit hole, like a lot of us did, and started questioning what is money, our money system, the manipulation of money. And then Anthony will get to it as well, but we're also real estate investors. So we connected professionally through an organization. We kind of sat at the same table, networked. I have a side hustle where I'm a tutor. I'm building a tutoring business. I mean, I currently work with students and I'm building that out. And we both had, Anthony, of course, has got several successful franchisees with several music businesses. And from that conversation, both of us are into Bitcoin, into money and financial literacy. And it kind of grew from that. And what I'm doing in the classroom, like when I teach math to my grade 8 students, a lot of the times I'll just bring in, because I'm like the curriculum's boring. Like when you talk about percentages and sales tax and HST, you know, you buy a jacket for a pair of jeans for $89.99, it's 13%. We've all been there. You've all done that. Like that sucks. So I'm like, you know what? Like, let's go to Yahoo Finance and let's just pull up the S&P, the chart. Let's look at the SPY today. Like, how's it moving? In what direction is it going? These are called candlesticks. Green, good. Red, bad. Like you usually want bottom left, top right. And then from there, of course, I start talking about what's money, what's Bitcoin. And then I'll throw that into lessons. And we're going to do, okay, let's do a fraction. Let's do like a percent change. I'll put that in as an example. And the kids really gravitated to it. I'm interested in it because I'm talking and I'm learning and it's reinforcing my understanding and I'm teaching it to them. And I'm getting a lot of feedback from kids as well. So this is Mr. Mulder. This is fantastic. Thank you so much. Go Bitcoin. Yay, Bitcoin. So I
love it.
We can get further into it, but yeah, go ahead, Joey. Sorry, go ahead, Anthony.
Okay, sure. Great. So Anthony DeGazon. I guess my, so professionally, I was in banking and IT for a bunch of years, retail banking. And then I left the corporate world for good in about 2005. And I joined my wife's music school. And so we run a family run music school with a few locations in the GTA. And our view on what we're doing has evolved from providing music lessons to child enrichment. And that slight change in focus and the breadth of what we're trying to accomplish for kids made it a very easy transition to what we're trying to do here, because it's not just about the music lessons, but it's about the more of the whole kid, more of what the parent is looking to have accomplished through their kids. And so when I ran into Mark and he was talking about what he's doing, and you like to work together with people that you like to work together with, right? Joey, you've got a partner, you know how that is. And that was just he's an easy guy to get to know, to work with. He's got a great excitement and passion for what he does. And I also being a dad of three older kids, you know, in their 20s, I know my heart for my family and my kids. And I know what we're trying to accomplish and the values and the understanding and some of the gray haired wisdom that, you know, that we've learned along the way. And we said, hey, man, I've got to get my kids to understand certain things before they leave. And so Mark's two boys are younger than mine, but we're bookended in terms of that window that we're trying to influence our kids. And I think I got into hard money and thinking that something was off in the financial world a few years before Bitcoin. And it started with the gold thing. And then when I got my head around why that's important, it was a very easy look. Once I opened my mind and was willing to actually learn about Bitcoin versus to read the articles of the highs and lows in the newspaper and say, what is the purpose for it? How does it help? Why is it there? Why was it created? And how can it help serve humanity? And once I decided to get down my own rabbit hole and started reading, I said, man, I need to understand this. I need to participate in it. And then I found a little bit of an educational soulmate in the Bitcoin space in Mark. And it's like, yeah, I'm excited to do what we've started to do. And the feedback has been awesome. Oh, I didn't get it. You didn't get my good side.
People on the audio, Mark's taking pictures of himself on the CBP.
Yeah, awesome.
We love that. Okay, so you guys both have. So you talked a bit about your educational background there, Anthony. I believe you're an MBA.
Yeah,
Mark, you're a teacher, trained teacher. Now I gotta tell you, okay. I think MBAs and teachers might view themselves as protected classes. I gotta be honest with you. All right, okay. I'm pretty sure that teachers and MBAs think of themselves as protected classes most of the time.
Okay, I want to understand what you mean by that, though, first. I'm excited to hear it. Yeah, I agree.
I think that a lot of your colleagues unfairly characterize themselves as sort of above the noise. And yet, when I look at the results that your colleagues are producing, both in the classroom, in banking, in business, what do I see? I see that, unlike you guys, who seem to understand that there's better ways to make a difference and to impact change than maybe learning and leaning on the things you've learned in the classroom in the past, you're taking things and applying them to real life. And one of my biggest frustrations, and I want you guys to talk about this a little bit before we get into Finlay, because I think it'll be a nice segue. What is it that you guys really, what was the sort of watershed moment for both of you? Because like I said, it seems to me like there's a real shell, there's this ossification around both of your educational backgrounds in a lot of cases. And there are two important educational backgrounds that in my view really can affect change, because it takes something to get to be a teacher. It takes something to get to be an MBA. But when I see the stuff they do, it's boring. It's the same as the generation before. They're always fighting the last battles. What was it in both your respective backgrounds where you thought to yourself, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing or has done. I can do something better. What was the watershed thing for you, Mark, in the classroom maybe? What was the thing that told you there's a better way?
Yeah, just to add to that, a little bit more about my background so you're aware of it. I actually worked in the corporate world as well. I worked for a large financial institution for several years. I was actually working at the corporate training center in the early 2000s. I took the opportunity actually to work in Costa Rica for half a year. I left that job and worked in Costa Rica in kind of a volunteer position, and then came back and I realized, you know what, like this 9-to-5 corporate job isn't for me. There's got to be more to life than just, you know, checking in, and especially listening to some of the senior management around me. This is the mid-2000s, early 2005, 2006, 2007. And, you know, my trajectory was towards in this direction. And so, I'll never take 2 weeks off again. The amount of emails that I have are overwhelming. I can't afford to take 2 weeks off in 2006.
Crazy.
When emails were, you know, just kind of, you know, starting, and there was no iPhones or anything like that. So, I left that realizing like there's got to be more. How else can I make an impact? And that's kind of what I brought into teaching as well. And then I think getting to your question, what is it? I think like to engage your audience, you've got to make it meaningful. You've got to bring in what is it in it for me? And just like if you're a marketer, or like you're talking about Bitcoin today, or you did the Bitcoin conference, like what is in it for me? How does this relate to me? And I think one of the best ways you can get that message across is through stories, storytelling. Yeah. And examples and real life examples. And of course, like if you can plug in Bitcoin, it's a cool technology. It's like this magic internet money. Your parents said Bitcoin's bad, really? Like we're reading about it. Don't invest in Bitcoin. It's the boogeyman, danger. It's like, wait, Mr. Moore was talking about this stuff. Like this is kind of cool, like hash rates and like decentralization. And what's fiat money? So for me, it's like, it really comes down like this hashtag, right? Like for the kids. Like that's really what it comes down to, and I have a passion in it. And I think it's incredibly important that we set the kids up for success as they move forward. Otherwise, they're going to have a lot of problems, like just going the typical graduate from high school, college, university route. Like that card's been played. 2023, like I think that ship has sailed for most most of these individuals graduating, unless you know you're set on becoming a doctor or a professional in the typical, you know, traditional careers. But yeah.
For me, Joey, I've always had a kind of an inquiring mind. I like to figure out how things work. How do systems work? And always kind of being willing to ask questions and trying to figure out, like, kind of dig and find the answer. Like, how does this work? And why is it like that? And what's the, you know, what's going on behind it? That kind of, I guess, kind of set me up for, you know, the next question and the next thing. And having gone through, none of us are, I'm older than all of you, right? But still, I'm not even a boomer. Right. And so, to Mark's point, going through and doing the standard way of living, there's a whole lot of risk in it. There's a whole lot of risk in it from your financial standpoint and how it impacts your life, how it impacts your career, what you trust in, the social contracts around that stuff. A lot of that changed. It had already changed when you were in, Mark, and for sure, Joey, for you. But it changed at the cusp of when I feel like when I first graduated. And so to that end, I said, you know, it made me go, I think something's up. And that idea of something's up has been there since, you know, 1990 for me, when I first started IBM and the first wave of jobs have been canceled. So I think the idea that, and the belief that what we are seeing and partly what we're being told and what I'm being taught, and I'm saying, and seeing that it doesn't quite match with the way the world seems to be, makes me go, let's figure out what's up and to see if there's a way, like, how are people protecting themselves? What are they doing? What's available to you out there? And part of that's what led us to, you know, real estate, to try and figure out a way to retire and to keep up, and then gold and then Bitcoin and educating people. It's like, why wait? Why sit by idly and wait for these young kids to go through 10, 20, 30, 40 years of life just experiencing that something's wrong? And why don't we try and do something and push forward some of the experience that we have and some of the things that we've learned and give it to them earlier so that they can see the world in a different way and then maybe have a different chance, like a fighting chance at some things. And that's, I do it for my kids. Like, and just the thought of what other kids are going through, it makes me feel sad, and I got to do something. And so I'm glad we're together trying to do that together, right? In the way that we can.
So let's talk about what the something is. FinLit is a program, a business that you guys started, I'm assuming not long ago, that aims to pass on, like you said, some of the gray beard knowledge, right? And also mix in some examples that'll work for these kids in terms of their day-to-day lives, in terms of developing financial competency and literacy, as the name mentions, as they try and build wealth and give themselves a chance, you know, to get out of this sort of, you know, hamster wheel of a school, career, retire, dead, after, you know, countless days of 9 to 5 at some, you know, brainless desk job. So what is the business? How would you guys describe the business? You can answer that however you like.
You want to go ahead, Mark?
Go ahead, Anthony.
Okay.
Start off.
Yeah. So, really, the issue, the business is centered around giving kids some basics around how does money work to start. Mark has put together some great things, right? It's just taking them through a logical process of first understanding what money is, how it's created, how it's valued, what it's been like over time, and what are the characteristics of it. And then when you're taught something that you've never been heard, you've never been taught before, never even thought to answer those questions or question characteristics, or even say, it's like, money is the stuff that we get out of the bank. It's what you get paid. That's it. You know, whatever country, that's the thing. That's the money, right? It never comes up otherwise. It's never taught in the business school, undergrad, when I was doing some undergrad, never taught in the business school of things. Bernanke was, I read his textbook. You know, it's like, I was excited when he was chair before I realized some of the things that are going on. I'm saying, yeah, it doesn't work. And the things that we're taught, and the things that you're saying, you know, like, if you get this teaching, you're entrenched somehow and you're in a different level and position. I don't really think that really washes. And I think there's a different way. And why are we doing it? I think we're trying to pass on this information and educate kids earlier so that, one, I think I'm just feeling like I'm doing something that matters and I'm serving people in a way that they, some people are recognizing that they want help with. And when I do that, and I hear Mark's stories about his classroom and what his kids are doing, you know, and I see the faces of the kids in our classrooms when we're doing it and the feedback from the parents, I know that people are wanting help in this regard for their kids. And there are kids, in a way, it's a bit surprising. Kids seem to want to know about this stuff, and they find, like, that seems strange, right? Let's talk about economics. Let's talk about, no, why would anybody, but I think it's a time. The time is right now, and kids must be primed to be wanting to hear this, and parents are primed wanting to get the message to their kids. And we're trying to inject ourselves in that and say, here we are, let us help the way we can, as much as we can, the best we can, to try and make it better for these kids earlier versus way later in their lives.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like what we're trying to do, as Anthony said, is to plant those seeds. And even if we can get to, if 10 attendees come out or 10 kids listen, two of them or one of them take action today, fantastic. But even 3, 5, 6, 8 years, when they start their careers out and they're, you know, they're young adults, they might be able to pull back to the conversations that we had in our course, which is really what our goal is, to plant those seeds today early so they understand some of these big concepts that we're talking about. What's inflation, fiat. You mean they can just debase our dollars? I'm going to go work 9 to 5 to pay taxes, and then they're going to further tax me through the debasement of the dollar? That doesn't really seem fair. So what are some strategies or options that I have to protect myself? I wish I would have learned this when I was 15, 16, 18, and not when I'm 43, and I don't have that opportunity. Or now that I'm, you know, got debt up to my eyeballs, and I don't, you know, I can't diversify, or I'm locked into these investments. Like, we're not giving financial advice. We're just teaching the fundamentals of what money is, what constitutes money, the characteristics of money. And then, of course, we transition. We do talk about hard money and definitely Bitcoin, but we're not pushing it on them. We want them to understand first what money is and then to open up their eyes so they can start having these conversations. Interestingly enough, though, kids really are into this Bitcoin, are into what hard money and what these hard money assets are. And just an example, like anecdotally, of course, this is just anecdotally, but end of June, you know, I get some Tim Hortons gift cards and some thank you cards and Starbucks. And probably out of the 20 cards, well, thank you so much, Mr. Mulder, 18 of them made reference to Bitcoin. Thank you for teaching me about Bitcoin. Thank you. Hope Bitcoin does well. I want to learn more about this. So it is resonating with it. And I do have parents coming back to me as well saying, thank you so much for teaching my kids about stocks and about Bitcoin and about the stock market. She won't listen to me, but she's starting to talk about it at a home, you know, over the dinner table, which is fantastic. So these conversations need to take place. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create this avenue where these conversations can start.
So help me understand. I heard you guys on the Your Life, Your Term show. I was saying, Anthony, before, I listened to it a couple of times here, just thinking about tonight's interview. And you guys make brief mention of the avatar, the target audience of the service that you guys want to provide. And one of the things we talk about on the show an awful lot is the sort of the pathway to the campfire, we call it in Bitcoin, right? You park your car, and the first guys who parked their car, it was gravel and 10 foot tall weeds and wild animals, and you couldn't see the smoke. And as time has gone on, the campfire is apparent now. You know, it's lit by tiki torches, for God's sake. You get there and there's a guy handing you a Bud Light or whatever, and off you go into the woods. And great. Now it's a little easier to find good content. But for you guys, I'm curious about how you're targeting kids who may need the support of the program that you're offering. And I want to hear how you decided, you know, how to get how to get eyes from these families onto your program. Mostly because in my head, when I think about kids who need that kind of support, I think about parents who don't know that these things are important. And then how do you communicate to a parent that these are important things that you should be teaching your kids about? Maybe you don't know enough about them. Let us help you for, you know, what X number of dollars. How do you bridge that gap? It seems to me to be something that might be difficult to do, but obviously you guys have done it once or twice already. How do you approach that? What is your thinking there?
Well, Anthony's the go-to expert on this, and I've learned a lot from Anthony because he's built out his business using some marketing strategies, which are phenomenal and that I'm studying as well. But it definitely was, we sat down and it required a lot of mental effort. We sat down for several hours, probably 3-4 meetings over the course of October, November.
Yep.
And we invested a lot of time into just kind of dissecting what is our, you know, our avatar, who are we catering to, what are the pain points and what solutions can we offer them? Which we identified. And interestingly enough, after having those conversations and then doing a few test launches and getting proof of, you know, validation, yeah, there is a need for this because we sold out a couple of our courses. It just yesterday, I don't know if you caught this on Twitter, but there's a study that came out, a report came out commissioned by TD saying that there's an overwhelming amount of Canadian parents concerned about kids' financial literacy and their financial future. No surprise, but I did tweet that out. But there's massive concern around that. I shared that. And of course, around budgeting and financial planning and saving. We're seeing that kids are coming to the classes that we've launched, but there definitely is a demand. But yeah, it was a lot of just mental work to get to that point. And Anthony can talk about the strategy we use, but it does require some effort.
I think we have an active business going on that's been up for a long time, and to try and move it along well and stay in touch and to do what people need, we've learned to tune ourselves to try and hear the person. And we didn't say what an avatar is. Basically your defined person, right? The person, who they are, maybe what their name is, what they care about, what they look like, their age, you know, where they are in their lifestyle, what they read about, you know, what are their concerns? What's playing on in their mind? What are the things that they're having troubles with? What are the hopes and dreams of these kinds of people? And so Mark is just a gracious guy, easy. And he allowed me to help walk us through this process to try and figure out who is the person that we're looking for, so that we could then, when we're communicating out to the world in socials and advertisements or to our audiences that we have that we currently own through our businesses and stuff like that, we're able to basically communicate the kinds of problems that our avatar, our target person, is trying to get addressed. So you could almost imagine yourself, Joey. Do you have kids just yet?
I don't have kids yet. No.
No. So here, you know, if you did a little exercise and said, "Hey, Joey, work with me for a second. Imagine yourself 15 years from now, and that your heart is for your child, and you want the best for him or her, and you've learned all this stuff over the last 15 years. Now, part of your responsibility, your God-given responsibility, is to not just feed them and keep them safe and get them ready for, but it's actually to pass on some of the most important things that you've learned so that you can avoid some of the problems and the challenges that the three of us are currently dealing with right now." And it's like, that's what burdens us, right? I'm not saying like I'm afraid. I'm just saying this is the stuff that's on my mind. It's like my heart is for my kids. And so when we spent the time trying to tune into who we're trying to work with and what their needs are, then it got I think it got pretty easy in a sense, Mark, where it's like, this is what we're looking for. And then when we say out to people what we're, you know, here's what you're looking for, here are the problems you're trying to do, your heart's for your kids, you know, you know you're struggling with this, these are the things you've been trying to do, the kids won't quite listen to you just because, you know, they can only listen to you for so long, but, you know, but they want to hear you, but really it's just too many distractions, let us just help you, or would you like us to help you with that? And when they hear someone who's speaking words that resonate with them very easily in plain language, there's no techno garble, right? You know, it's like, we're not doing that. It's just, hey, this is what we're trying to do. This is who we are. This is what we're struggling with. If you're struggling with this, if this is what you're trying to accomplish and you care for your kids, this is, you know, we're here to try and help you with that. And people, we're just genuine, right? People resonate with that. And we found it's been very easy. That hasn't been a hard thing to this point. People go, yeah, man. Oh, that's great. Thanks for doing that. It just resonated so well in the Bitcoin community, as well as in the real estate investing community, apparently in your school, you know, people in my neighborhood, parents are coming to me saying, man, I need, you're doing that for kids. I need that. to come to my door and knock on my door saying it.
Yeah, just to add to that, Joey, it's interesting because when parents sign up, they kind of sheepishly ask, is there a course for adults? I got to learn this too, which is
Can I sit in? Can we sit in, right? It's like that happens almost, it happens all the time. And so many people are asking that. So
what are the concerns you get from parents? I mean, this is, you guys kind of mentioned it in jest and, you know, danced around it a bit. It's funny. We all talk about Bitcoin. I think, you know, you might be the Bitcoin guy in your circle of friends. I never bring up Bitcoin with like my tightest group of friends anymore because it's just, it's not worth it. Like I'm never going to get them across that bridge on my own. That something, there's got to be a touch the stove moment, blah, blah, blah. We know all this stuff. Do parents ever have concerns that, you know, that, and I think real estate and metals and Bitcoin, at least in some ways, are under the same umbrella, this sort of idea that this system is going to collapse. You need something to protect you from a collapse, some kind of calamity. Do parents ever say like, are you guys just really like preppers in suits? Like, is this really something I want my kids to be learning? What are the hurdles you have to get over sometimes to get a young person to take the class, to get a young person to sit in and get this stuff from you guys?
So that's a great question. And so far it's been a warmer, warmer list. Many of our leads, although some of it was through Facebook marketing. But so far, I think it resonates with the community that we've been catering to or marketing to. I do think you're absolutely right. Like, there will be pushback, but as we move forward, like, we're not hearing that shared with us if people are seeing this. We do need to, and that's something we're doing for the fall. Like, we're trying to get the word out now. We're going to have to do a lot more paid advertising to get more students in, and we have some ideas of what direction we kind of want to take this in now that we know that there is interest in it. I'm sure there's people looking at us like, yeah, like, what are these guys talking about? Bitcoin, that's crypto, that's dangerous. Like, that's better off going to the casino, like crypto stuff. The other thing is like, yeah, you know, just invest in a mutual fund. It's like, well, like, things are changing, but I do feel like Canadian families are feeling the effects of what has unraveled so quickly over the past 3 years, since 2019, 2020, just with the printing of the money, with inflation hitting everyone's pocket, with the interest rates keep going up, and the US went up another 25 basis points. Question is, do our mortgages go back up in September? Like, it's outrageous. So for the first time, and Canadians have had the luxury of not having to live through this ever, unlike many or most countries around the world. You talk about Argentina, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Lebanon, Greece. So we're finally feeling it. And I think they're looking at the system, Canadian families, and they're realizing like the way forward is not going to be the same as what we experience, our generation. And I know you're a bit younger, Joey, but even like your buddies, like, it's different. Like, you guys, like, your generation, it's tough to buy a house. Like, you know, like, you don't qualify with today's rates, even if you're making multiple six figures. You know, how do you save 20%? So how are kids who are in grade 8, grade 9, 15, 16, starting off making 15, 16 bucks an hour, how are they going to afford the future that their parents have? So I think parents who really care about, well, obviously all parents care about the kids, but are having these conversations and are thinking 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, realize that they need help. And I think Canadians are starting, and again, this is just very anecdotal, but from just what I'm hearing on the ground, I do feel like the conversation is shifting and is changing. So, you know, that's what I'm seeing and feeling.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if I absolutely believe that for people to be able to, I think the best approach that we're taking, and I think the strongest move that we have, is to allow kids to understand the broader context around finances and lift their understanding of how it works, how the math works around money, what money is, budgeting, how does that work? What does inflation, how do you protect yourself? What is inflation? What does it do? You know, interest rates, all these, just these very basic things that you never get taught in high school. I really don't think I got taught in my undergrad. I think we talked about it something like this in my MBA, but it was like Black Scholes, this and that. It's like, okay, you know, it's like, that's just not, it's like the simple common sense, everyday money principles. And that's the stuff that people need to get. And we're, and like, how does it work? And when the kimono opens, and it has for us over the last 10, 15, 20 years, right? You go, oh yeah, I didn't really realize that that inflation thing is not just, it's kind of a bad thing. Or yeah, you know what? Housing price or asset price inflation, that's great. That's great. That's great. Until your kid gets to be 15, 16, 17, 18 or 20, and they're going, Dad, you know, I have no idea how I'm going to get a house. And then you realize the things that are playing in their brain never played in mine. It never entered my brain that I would not, like, once I, you know, got into university and I thought, okay, I'll work hard to get a nice corporate job, IBM, the banks, like, yeah, oh, if I just discipline myself and save for the future, it's going to work out.
Get a mortgage and it's no question, right?
Right, and you'll do it, spend less than you make, you know, save some for the future, and that's all going to work. You know what? We need them to have that understanding now too, because there is no investing in Bitcoin or other hard assets unless you spend less than you make on some level, right? Mm-hmm. So helping kids understand that, you know, change their focus from just today because the future looks so unattainable, you know, that's forcing kids just to not care about the future, just focus on today and spend everything. No, we got to change, help them understand there's a hope for the future, but we need to learn to discipline a bit for the future by saving a bit for today, for tomorrow, and put it, learning to put it in the right kinds of things that will actually move forward. Hey, I had a mutual fund, you know, mutual fund pension with the bank. And, you know, like after 15 years, you know, the thing was a little bit less than amount that I put in after 15 years. So that's not what they told me when I went into the bank, right? What they told me is, you know, you invest a little bit for thing, time and money, 8% a year compounding. And by the time you're going to retire with a, right? That's what they told us.
Yeah.
And that's not, at least not my experience. And so I carry that. And I'm going, yeah, well, you know, these are the messages the kids are going to get with the powerful marketing companies saying this is what we need to do, because I know they're trying to run a business. But I'm just saying it doesn't always work out for even those people who put away something for the future. So there has got to be a different way. And we want to help them get to understand a little bit early.
Do you guys think, I mean, one of the things I think about sometimes, and we've talked about this in our air in the past, there's, you know, and you guys will both appreciate this working with kids and you know, now that you have this classroom setting, there's a lot of different nudges you can give to young people to kind of help not only put them in a position to succeed, but also sort of stabilize society. And these are things like closing bars at 12 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock, for example, or whatever, right? There's many different things you can do to keep kids out of trouble. And generally, I think they're good ideas. The thing that I don't hear much about, and I kind of want to get into parenting a little bit with you guys, because you both seem like very competent fathers. And you know, as a hopeful father myself, I think about this a lot. The thing that, to your point, Anthony, about your kids thinking things that you never thought when you were younger about, am I going to get a house? Am I going to be as well off as mom and dad, et cetera? The nudge no one talks about is what home ownership does to stabilize relationships, to stabilize family starts, to stabilize crime, to stabilize savings. You know, I laugh at mutual funds as much as you guys do, but at some level, you know, if you don't own a home and you're constantly saving for a home that's just getting further and further away from you, that means generally you're probably not buying the S&P. And if you're not buying the S&P, then all the pensions that are in the S&P are not going to be able to cash later for more than you put in, as you mentioned, right? And so you kind of have this unraveling of a quasi Ponzi scheme slowly but surely. And I think a lot of it could find a root in this lack of housing availability or affordability for Canadian youngsters. And I'm fortunate that I have a house. I'm 35, and I bought my house when I was 28 or 29, I forget now. But a lot of my friends didn't at that time. And you know, you can imagine 7 years ago, 6 years ago, the difference between then and now in the home prices and how inflation has really neutered any wage growth we've seen. And everyone talks about GDP per capita has been stagnant for close to 20 years in Canada. And so I'm wondering, you know, from your point of view, for you guys, what advice would you give to a parent who has a kid who's thinking this way? Like, I'm not going to save. I'm going to spend my money on you know, my favorite Twitch streamer, or I'm going to spend my money on another pair of shoes this month instead of saving it, or I'm not going to buy the stock market because it doesn't matter how much it goes up. I'm never going to be able to get in the real estate game. I'm never going to be able to start a family. These are thoughts that lead to dark places for kids. And I think if you look at the state of affairs in schools, for sure. In another life, I went to teacher's college and did a couple of teaching stints in Hamilton schools. And I remember then thinking that, man, you know, some of these kids are fragile, some of them. And it seems to me that those kind of thoughts could really, really take root pretty easily. So what do you tell a parent who's got a kid who's 10, 12, 15, whatever, and started this way and starting to see on TV home prices again this month, 20% this year, whatever? What do you tell them? Well, where do they start?
Go ahead.
It's big questions. Ah, okay, here we go. You know what? I think some of the old principles do apply. So I start off, part of the conversation was like, you know, I have this kind of questioning mind of how this works. So what I've, part of the reason why we got together, we got to know each other, was because we were in a group that came up with this idea that, hey, if you were able to buy some hard assets in real estate, that might be a way to keep up with the ravages of inflation on your life, right? And on your family. And what that was an answer to a question that I had. I'm saying people are finding a way. People are succeeding in this world where I'm finding it very hard to keep up, even though, you know, there's a bunch of degrees on the wall. My wife, I don't know, we got like six advanced, you know, degrees. It's like there's lots, right? So it's not just about that, but it's about what are the ways that those that are wealthy have traditionally done things and are doing things currently? And what can we learn from that? They don't teach it in schools. They didn't teach it in, like I said, they just don't. And even our neighbors who are very like cash flow wealthy, and they may even have some assets, they have done it the old way. So it's like, what are those ways? What are those systems? What are those practices? What do they do? How do they think about money? How do they think about serving other people to create an asset that gives value to lots of people so that they give you some money in exchange that, you know, then you can go and maybe invest in some things. These are mindsets that, you know, the traditional go to school, get a job kind of scenario doesn't really support. It doesn't make you think about these things, but we all know some of these people, these families that life seems to be easier. You know, they seem to be able to accumulate things. They seem to be getting ahead of some things. So what we're trying to do is encourage people to go, hey, there is another way. We've practiced some of those things and we're still trying to learn. And Mark, we're still learning trial and error at someone's bloody nose and stuff like that. But, you know, we're making progress, definitely at a rate that I wouldn't have been if I was just still in the corporate world doing it the way I was. And so having some of these things, it's like saying, guys, there is a hope, because the hope might just be not in the way that you're doing it currently, harder, faster, more, but do it in an alternate way and learn from just history. Learn from the new type of technology that has the same kinds of characteristics of assets that people have used in the past that help you do, you know, help to insure you against hardships and inflation and hazards and, you know, counterparty risk, right? All these kinds of things that, you know, you hear all the time. So I think in letting people know that we have figured out some things from others and that there is another way, and we're willing to share what we've learned, not financial advice, Mark, right? But I'm telling you, hey, you want to know what we're doing? This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is what we're trying to address. These are the problems that we see. This is how it's affected us. And this is what we're trying to do to address these other things that the traditional life approach to working and saving, it's not really keeping up with, to your point, Joey, about trying to save for a house unless you're doing it with something that's outpacing. The S&P, I don't think that's really outpaced Toronto housing.
It's not. Nothing is outpaced GTA.
What the heck have you been able to do that, right?
Yeah.
But there are things that are. And, you know, how are people using that? What is it that they're using? Why are they using it? You know, what are the possible rates of return? How long, what's a time horizon for your money? Like if you guys were in, you know, in banking for some, like, you know, when do you need the money? Yeah, if you need it in a year or two, some things aren't the best for that. But if you need it in 5 or 10, that might be a great thing for you. So yeah, it's helping to share that.
And I think as well, the reality is we need to reset our expectations. We're all right now so used to instant gratification and instant consumption, especially younger generation with everybody having an iPhone, you know, a phone in their pockets, and everything is instant. Mm-hmm. So they're kids, and this is what we're talking about as well. Like, you do need to work to get ahead. You've got to put effort in to move forward. It does require energy. And that's why we have these conversations as well around inflation and around, hey, if my money represents my time and effort, energy stored, why can the government go in and then tap that and steal my energy? So then we talk about, as an example, we get into compound interest. And just as an exercise for 14-year-olds, like, how many kids learn this? Well, we have these conversations. And I talked to the kids in my grade 8 math class about it. All right, let's run the compound interest formula. If you were 18 years old and worked full-time job for 2 years and, I don't know, save $20,000, and I'm rounding here, but this is the example I gave, something like this, and you invest it, and then I gave them, okay, let's say you're 7% rate of return over the next 20 years. This is how much money you would have. But if you stretch that out to 50 years, when you're 50, so what, 30 years, you'll have a significant amount of money at 8% or 7% rate of return, even though, yes, inflation's running at that, if not higher, fine. But these are examples, and kids need to start having these conversations at 14, 15. Like, how many kids have these conversations and even know about this? Most don't. So when you're 15 and you're aware of this, by the time you're 20, 21, 22, you can start making some more sophisticated calculations and get it into some other assets. The other thing, I think, just having this conversation around kids who are 20, 22, 25, yeah, you're not going to qualify for mortgage today and buy like $1 million townhome that needs $100,000 put in Hamilton, right? And you got to commute back into Toronto, right? Like $700,000-$800,000 for a townhouse or a condo. By the GO station. But the reality is, like, you got to start having these conversations around, like, house hacking. What does that look like? Maybe you're going to have to live in the basement, buy a house with a partner. You live in the basement with your girlfriend or wife or spouse or friend, and then somebody's renting upstairs. It's going to take longer. Absolutely. Like, I'm having a conversation as well with a fellow investor. He's looking to get out into a bigger place with his wife and start a family. So we're actually having a conversation of potentially, and these are just, you know, very high level conversations. Hey, maybe, like, I might go in as a partner with him. We'll buy an investment property. He'll live upstairs, start his family, and we'll rent the basement out, and that thing will cash flow. You know, these are the conversations that are taking place right now for 30, 35 year olds or even younger kids. But, you know, the trajectory that we're going with rising interest rates and the, you know, housing prices, like, yeah, like, it doesn't work anymore.
No.
Yeah.
And these are exactly the conversations I'm having with my kids too, Mark, right? The same. These are the same kind of conversations I'm having with my own kids. And guys, it's like, they're going, Dad, it'll never happen. I say, guys, it can happen, but you're going to have to be able to be more creative than just the standard. I'm going to drive up to this house. And yes, we both make over $250,000 combined. So we can buy $1 million house at 6% interest amortized over 35 or 40 years. Like, that's just, it's insane, right? So there has to be a different way. And this is an example of what we're trying to share based on the experiences that we've gathered over the little while that we're using, right? We're actually using it to help move our family forward a bit. And not everybody knows that. It's a pretty good deal, I think, to be able to get a couple of guys in the community that are doing certain things and are willing to share and trying to help.
I think so too. Now, my last question for you guys, we're going to go back to the avatar thing here for a second. Who is the Bitcoin avatar?
Anthony got into the weeds, so he knows exactly who the avatar is.
Tell me who the Bitcoin avatar is.
You really got me into the weeds, and there was like a lot of mental energy that went into it. But I think your avatar was it not Nancy?
There's a Nancy.
Nancy.
Right. And so we put a name on them, right? Sometimes we'll name a male, like, to kind of just say, this is a real kind of person. Right. And it would be apparent that is, and I think we basically had them as a husband and a wife. So it's that kind of nuclear family, right? That has kids that are age 20 to kind of 18 or 19 in that range because of what we're trying to accomplish and what the kids are also trying to think about. Concepts that we can communicate that they'll understand.
Just to clarify, 12 to 20-ish.
Yeah, if I didn't say that. So that we're trying to communicate concepts that they could understand in the ways they can, but they're also, the kids themselves are concerned and trying to figure out answers for the problems that they feel that they're facing now and in the future so that they're ready for it. I don't believe we ever said that they were primarily Bitcoiners. However, what we did believe though, that the things that Bitcoin and other hard assets address from a problem standpoint, those parents realize either that they know that there's a problem and that these things would be an answer to, and or they actually are trying to, they're actually playing in these areas, trying to address these problems. And they go, yeah, I think these are the things that kind of work, including people who are Bitcoiners, including maybe some gold people or some, you know, some real estate types of people, right? Or entrepreneurs where they're building their assets to give them cash that might appreciate over time so they have more control over the future, like some more control, right? And so those are the kinds of people. And part of the reason why it's not purely just a Bitcoin program, but it's a financial literacy program, is that the audience, we're not just trying to help people who know the answer. We're trying to help people who know that there is a problem financially. And if we can actually take them through some of the steps that I know you went through yourself, Mark, I certainly went through, possibly Joey, you did too, right? And it's like saying, here, let's uncover ourselves some of the things, how it is, what are the problems, what might be able to address the problem, why the problems are there. And then when we go through that way, we kind of undo some of the thinking and then start to build a new foundation. And parents who know that they feel that they have that gap, they feel that need, that little bit of a concern and pain for themselves, probably first, and therefore for their kids more so later. Those are the parents that it's just an easy thing, because in their mind, you know, Nancy and her spouse, they already know. They already know that there's something wrong, and I'd like a hand, because they don't always listen. My kids, they tune me out sometimes. I get the eye roll. Dad, oh, Dad's going off again. It's too long. But the kids know in their hearts that something's wrong and they want a best opportunity. They want to succeed in life. They want to be able to have a house. They want to be able to go on a trip. They want to put their kids in rep hockey or rep soccer or a dance. They want these. They want to buy a dog and can afford to feed the dog and the family. It's like, right? They want these things. These are all normal things, right? And so I think to Mark's point, the family, like kids and the families are primed now because of the events that they've seen locally and in the past, and they're realizing it's come on their shores, and it's starting to come to a head. Like maybe I don't know, man. It feels in a way that I feel there's a little bit of a bait and switch kind of thing feeling. I fell for it again. Man, we bought the big thing. We refinanced out this rate. The rates were never going up. It's like, like seriously?
It's a good way to put it. The bait and switch. People are feeling that for maybe the first time or the second time, right? Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the other thing is, as we take them along the journey, we're not telling them what the solution is. We take them along the journey. We know that like the parents have identified the problems being inflation, rising asset prices, wages aren't keeping up with housing prices. They're aware of that. So we'll teach the kids about these concepts, and along the way, we'll introduce them to, hey, there's this thing called Bitcoin. This is why we believe that Bitcoin fits all the characteristics of what money is, because we went through that at the beginning of this program. And if you're interested in Bitcoin, here's where you can learn more. Here's how you can buy it. This is what it looks like. And it's like, what's his name? Booth. Jeff Booth. I mean, it's a life raft, right? From one system to the next. And you don't need to, we don't want to startle them, but be aware of it. So maybe in 5 years or 7 years, like, oh, yeah, I remember that Bitcoin thing. I mean, maybe it's too late then, you can still get a few sats. But I mean, parents are concerned. And as dads, we're concerned. We're all concerned here on this, sitting here right now with a few future of Canada's economy and the direction that we're going in. And there's got to be, like, we've got to try new things because the old system's broken. It's falling apart. Like it's not, you know, they're trying to hold it together, but we know, like, it's only a matter of time. So at least be prepared. You can't be oblivious to what's coming down the road. You can't keep kicking it down the can down the road. We're all aware of that. Like, be prepared at least.
There is something to be said about the work you guys are doing, and I want to commend you for it because you're really fighting uphill on a number of fronts, right? You're fighting uphill against what's on televisions every night, the news telling you that everything's not as bad as it seems. The inflation numbers are massaged, you know, sometimes probably all the way to climax, honestly, all the massaging going on. And, you know, among other problems that are present in modern economics and in modern economies. Now, you guys have been very generous with your time. Before we go, tell people where they can find out more about the program, where they can find out more about you guys. The floor is all yours, gentlemen.
So we're going to be launching this course again in September and the fall. But if parents are interested or anyone in it, your audience is listening, you can get more information from finliteracy.ca. And on there, you can jump onto our mailing list for updates. That's probably the best place to catch us. I'm also on Instagram where I'm sharing some of the information. It's BTC for Kids on Instagram, and I can email that to you later or message you later, Joey. You put it up somewhere, but that's probably the best way. Anthony, I don't know if there's anything else.
I think the other thing is that we're still listening, right? We're still listening to the families and what they're saying in, during, the kids, after, before. And the other things that we're hearing is that, you know what, there's so much to this. Like, Our introductory course is a 101 course, and they're asking for more. Like, how do we deal with credit cards? How do we deal with debt? How do we deal with inflation? How can we even try and get our heads around what it might look like saving for university and doing, or saving for a house, or, you know, these kinds of things are what we're putting together for the next course, like the 102 course that we're also looking to offer later in the fall, because we know it's not done. Like, you weren't done in the first 2 hour conversation you had, or the first 2 hours of learning that you did on Bitcoin or finance or whatever. Right. So we know that it's not done. And we're hearing families say, this was awesome. The kids, the feedback has been fantastic. But what about this? And so we're working on the what about this now. Part of the time why we're taking the time for the summer is to be better prepared and to offer a little bit more as the, you've done this, great. Here's the next offering to help you develop your financial literacy in a deeper way, and also to cover some areas that we just can't cover off in one course and in one sitting. But we're going to take it the next step further to kind of, you know, develop them along the way so that they have a better shot in a holistic view of their life financially going forward. And that's what we want for our families. Give them that hope.
I think that's important. So thanks everyone for tuning in, listening. Thanks Mark and Anthony for your time. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.